Matthew 22, verses 23 to 33.
That same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Jesus replied, You are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Happy Easter. It's Easter Sunday today. And tonight we are looking at a passage from Matthew 22 under the title Resurrection Life, Not Resurrection Wife, which is a comedy title if ever I heard one. But to set the scene for tonight's passage, we need to rewind through history about 2,000 years back to the first ever Easter when Jesus died and rose again. And then we need to rewind a little bit further, about a week, and we see Jesus entering Jerusalem at the start of his last week of his life on earth. And he's causing quite a stir. The whole city's in uproar. They're fascinated by this prophet from Galilee. But the religious leaders are not impressed. They hate Jesus, and they want to get rid of him. So they think up their hardest questions to try and trap him in his words, to get him into trouble with the Romans, and to make him unpopular with the people as well. It's like a game of religious cricket, with Jesus into bat, and all of the religious leaders lining up one by one to take their best shot at him, to bowl their hardest ball, to hit him with their hardest question to try and catch him out. So the chief priests step up to bowl. They take a run up and, by what authority are you doing these things? Jesus hits it right back at them. And a gasp goes up from the crowd. And the Pharisees step up after that. And they take a huge run up and hit him with, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? And tonk, he absolutely hits it for six. And the crowd goes wild. And they're astonished at his teaching. Well, each time the religious leaders try their best to catch him out, but each time Jesus answers with amazing wisdom and skill, with amazing insight and knowledge of the scriptures. It is a fantastic performance and well worth a read. But tonight, it is the turn of the Sadducees. What devious question have they thought up for Jesus? Now, the Sadducees, who were they? Now, they are one of the groups of religious leaders in Jerusalem at the time. What do they believe? Well, verse 23 tells us what they do not believe. They don't believe in the resurrection from the dead. Now, Jesus has been going around teaching that when he returns on the last day, the dead will be resurrected, that is, physically raised to life with new bodies. Listen to his words in John 5, 28 to 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to life, to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. But the Sadducees don't believe any of that. They think that there is no life after death. They think that once you're dead, that's it. The dead will not be raised on the last day. I'm sure you've all heard the old joke, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, that's why they're sad, you see. I know it's cheesy, but it is a good way of remembering who they are and what they believe. So, the Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection, but Jesus does. So they come up with a difficult question, a ridiculous scenario, to try and make fun of him, try and make fun of Jesus, and to show that the resurrection can't be true. And their question is all about marriage at the resurrection. Teacher, they say, in verse 24, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Moses did indeed say this in Deuteronomy 25. And it sounds a bit strange, doesn't it, to our ears? But in fact, it was a good law, and to make sure that the dead man's family line would continue, and that his widow would be looked after and provided for and given a family in a future. I guess we've got to remember when faced with laws like these that there was no welfare state in Israel, and the people had to look after the widows and orphans. But the Sadducees, they take this good law and they apply it to the resurrection and come up with this ridiculous scenario. Here it is, along with a visual aid. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second brother. And to the third. And the fourth. And the fifth. And the sixth. Right on down to the seventh brother. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since all of the seven were married to her? So, can you see what they are trying to do here? They are mocking Jesus for believing in the resurrection. They're saying, there can't really be a resurrection, because if there were, it would be a mess, full of difficult situations like this, full of trouble and strife and disputes and arguments. She's my wife. I was married to her first. No, she's my wife. I was married to her for the longest. No, she's my wife. I was married to her last. Shut up, all of you. I'm nobody's wife. So, the resurrection can't be true, they say, if it's going to be like that. So how does Jesus tackle this difficult question? Well, his answer is in verses 29 to 32. So let's have a look at it. First of all, then, there will be a resurrection. Jesus proves to the Sadducees from their own scriptures that they are wrong. There will be a resurrection. Look at verses 31 and 32. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now these words were spoken by God to Moses from the burning bush in Exodus 3. But the remarkable thing is that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had been dead and buried for hundreds of years by the time Moses arrived on the scene. And yet God doesn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No, he says, I am their God. He can say this because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still alive. They may have died and departed this world, but they live. And at the resurrection, they will rise, and God will still be their God. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So there will be a resurrection. Now, the implications of this are huge. if we are believers, then it gives us great hope for the future, especially as we face death. It gives us strength to endure hardships and suffering in this life, because we know that they won't last forever. And it gives us great comfort when we are grieving for the loss of believing family or friends as well. We will see them again at the resurrection. If we are not believers, then this should be a wake-up call for us. Jesus says that there will be a resurrection. This life is not all there is. And he says that after the resurrection will come the judgment, when we will be judged on the basis of how we have responded to him. Have we believed him or not? Have we trusted him for our salvation? These are vital questions on which hangs our eternal future. There will be a resurrection from the dead. So, secondly, the Sadducees are wrong about the resurrection. But where did they go wrong? What mistake did they make? Well, Jesus tells them in no uncertain terms in verse 29, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God." They do not know the scriptures. The clues were there if they looked hard enough. And there are plenty of other places in the Old Testament that teach the resurrection, such as in the Psalms or in Daniel. So they should have known these things. They didn't know the scriptures. And while we're on the subject of the scriptures, there's a little detail in this passage that I totally missed the first few times I read it. Look at what Jesus says to them in verse 31. "Have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." But God didn't say this to the Sadducees. He said it to Moses. So what does Jesus mean here? I think that Jesus is reminding them that God is speaking to them through the scriptures. The scriptures are not just a history book. They are living and active. And through them, God speaks, even today. Okay, they do not know the power of God either. The Sadducees underestimate God's power if they think that the resurrection is too difficult for God. But of course God has the power to do it. He demonstrated his power in creation. He created the entire universe by a word, and he sustains it to this day. He gave us all life in the first place. Of course he has the power to resurrect us again. And he has demonstrated this power by raising Jesus from the dead. Listen to Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:14. "By his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also." So we know that we will be raised because Jesus was raised. The same power will be at work in us. It is good to be reminded at Easter of the resurrection of Jesus, because it gives us great assurance that we will be raised too. So thirdly, there will be no marriage at the resurrection. Look at verse 30. "At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven." There we have it. No marriage at the resurrection. So to answer the Sadducees' question, the widow will be no one's wife. She and her seven ex-husbands will be like the angels. No marriage at the resurrection. Those of you who are married, I wonder how that makes you feel. If your reaction is, "Yes, no more marriage," then perhaps you should have a word with the pastor here for some marriage guidance. But I think that most of us will be a bit sad about that. Oh, I quite like being married. Well, don't be upset. Be encouraged. Your relationship with your husband or wife in heaven will be even better than it is now, even though you won't be married. Now your relationship is imperfect. In heaven, your relationship will be perfect. It won't be tainted by sin anymore. In fact, your relationship with everybody in heaven will be perfect. So there will be no marriage in heaven. Well, that's not quite right, actually, because there will be one marriage in heaven. A huge wedding that God planned before the beginning of time, and that all of history has been heading towards. The marriage of Jesus to his people. The Bible says that our relationship with Jesus is like that of a wife to her husband. Now we are engaged to him, as it were. In heaven, we will be married to him. And there are lots of passages in the Bible that pick up on this image, like the parable of the wedding banquet that we saw last week, like the wedding supper of the Lamb, that is Jesus, in Revelation, like Paul's description of the church as the bride of Christ. Now, this can be difficult for us to get our heads around, especially if we're blokes, but all of these passages are describing the closeness of the relationship we will have with Jesus. The perfect relationship that we will have with him. Perhaps this is what Jesus means when he says we will be like the angels. Angels don't get married, as far as I know. No, they spend their time worshipping and serving God. J.C. Ryle puts it really well in his commentary on Matthew. We shall be as the angels of God. Like them, we shall serve God perfectly, unhesitatingly, and unweariedly. Like them, we shall ever be in God's presence. Like them, we shall give all glory to the Lamb. These are deep things, but they are all true. God has such a wonderful future planned for his people. How do we become a part of it? Well, by accepting Jesus' proposal. By accepting him as our Lord and our Saviour. He has already shown us the extent of his great love for us by paying the terrible punishment for our sin that we deserved by dying in our place on the cross. Why would we not want to spend eternity with such a wonderful man? Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection and the hope that it gives us, the encouragement that it is, and the assurance it gives us too. Lord, we thank you for Jesus as well. We thank you for his death and his resurrection that made all this possible for us. Lord, we thank you for your great love for us as well, for your invitation to be with you in heaven forever. Please help us to respond, Lord, positively to this. Please help us to live our lives in the light of this hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.